Dublin's Talking Sport with Ken Doherty and Reggie Corrigan.
Sponsored by InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists.
On Dublin's Sunshine 106.8.
Eamon Cochran on his way to a major title. Brilliantly run. The champion of the world.
And the Olympic champion. In the red corner.
A very warm welcome back to Dublin's Talking Sport on Sunshine 106.8 with thanks to InsureMyVan.ie. Now, of course, as well as the Champions League final, there's a massive final, of course, the Pro 14 final. It's Leinster against Scarlet at 6 o'clock today. And I'm delighted to welcome Dan Van Zyl, who's a former South African rugby player who has worked for the past 10 years with Leinster as a development officer and, of course, places him in a unique position as he's seen a new young breed of players progress through the ranks. Dan has also recently established a Rugby Academy Ireland to help young school leavers find an alternative route to the pro game. A very warm welcome to you, Dan, and thanks for taking the time to join the show.
Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity, and I would love to take the credit about all the youngsters coming through, but I think there's going to be a lot more hard work into that and a lot more of other people that had an influence on that than me.
Well, I'm sure you've had a big influence on them, and I know. Listen, it's a massive game today, but I'm sure you're going to back Leinster, even though they are playing a very proficient and but unpredictable Scarlet side.
Look, I'm a massive Leinster fan, and I do think, I hope that Leinster will do it today. Although I think that teams in the Pro 14, of which Scarlet is one, and Glasgow is probably the other one, does cause Leinster problems when they play against them.
Yeah, Dan, morning, Reg here. You and I have both done work in Leinster over the years, and when you look down at the team sheet, I know you're being humble and you're not taking any credit for it, but the work that all the development officers have done in the past in identifying young players, but when you see the likes of Jordan Larmour, Gary Ringrose, McGrath, Keane Healy, James Ryan, Dan Levy, all products of the Leinster system, it really, I suppose, it shows why Leinster find themselves in such a strong position within Irish rugby. It's down to that development system right the way through from schools upwards, isn't it?
Look, I would agree with you there, you know, and I think the school system, but then also the club system, you know, and that's probably the thing that really improved over the last 5-6 years, you know, the likes of Tyke Furlong, and those guys coming through, you know, Joey Carberry and so on. So I do think that the summer programs are really run well. You know, the identification of players starts at under 15 years of age is already, and there's a track on those players with the help of the school coaches and so on as well. So I do think the scouting, the coaching then that goes on in the summer program, the thorough selection process, all of that, plays a big part in those players eventually coming through.
And when you look at the other provinces, because there's been a fair bit of chat recently about the likes of Ulster and the difficulties they're having, and Connacht have had their difficulties in the past, and even this year they're looking at a new coach coming in fairly quickly. And even Munster, who were always considered the powerhouse and the ones that Leinster, back in my day, kind of we had to emulate them to try and get success. The systems don't seem to work quite so well in those provinces.
I think it's numbers as well. You know, Leinster have got the advantage of numbers, but I do think there's a very good relationship between the domestic and the professional game, and there's a depth chart that Peter Smith, the academy manager, will have right down to number 12 or 15, you know, of guys still being in school and so on. So I do think Leinster, probably structure-wise, is a little bit ahead of the other provinces in that regard.
Yeah, and like I said, you're at the, well, you were, and you've moved on now, and we'll discuss your new venture very shortly, but, you know, you're in a situation where you went out to the clubs, you went out to the schools that are less well known. I mean, everybody knows about in Leinster, the Clongowes, the Black Rocks, the Michaels, the Strong, the Terenures, all these strong schools, but there are other schools, many, many of them, playing the game, and the success of rugby and the growth of rugby, I mean, in smaller junior clubs throughout the whole of the province, the numbers are just going up all the time, aren't they?
Yes, No, and that's got to do, again, with a good coach development program, you know, that Leinster appointed a specific coach development manager this year as well. And I think that all plays part in it. You know, we, or Leinster gets about between 120 and 150 coaches through a season on coach accreditation.
We have just lost Dan there.
In the younger age groups as well. So I do think that plays a big part in developing the player then as well in those weaker schools or weaker clubs.
Absolutely. Well, the future looks bright for Leinster and the academy system as it goes at the moment. Just back to today's game, Dan. Obviously, Leinster up against Scarlets. Scarlets not afraid to come over here and have a go at Leinster, beating them in the RDS last year in the semi-final. We managed to get a little bit of revenge this season over them. But this game today, on the back of a two tough weeks, you know, Champions Cup game, then Munster in the RDS, which is a real nail-biter coming down to the wire. And the Aviva today, it's tough on Leinster to try and pull out another performance out of the bag.
It is. Emotionally, as you know, to go from one final to the next is probably more demanding than the physical side of it. But Leinster as well, coming from, you know, the last three or four games, only scoring 16, 17 points, where Scarlets, I think, have scored close to 100 points in their last three games. You know, that will be a challenge. So if we can get on the board early doors and stay ahead, I think it will be Leinster. But if Scarlets get their nose in front, it could be a difficult game to chase.
Leinster lucky in the sense that they're able to welcome back the likes of Johnny Sexton, Rob Kearney. Eason Asiwa starts as captain. We'll have to see how his leg holds up. I know he's running on one leg these days, but hopefully he'll be able to do it. An interesting call as well in that they've left Jordy Murphy on the bench and gone with Conan at 8 and Reece Ruddock starts at 6. But some big names coming back who should add experience and maybe steer the ship that little bit.
Yes, and I'm a big fan of Conan. You know, I think he brings some dynamism to the back row, and then obviously the likes of Fire and so on the bench. You've got Joey Carberry on the bench and so on as well that can bring impetus from there. I think that's probably where it's going to come down to. As I see it, it could be close up to 60 minutes, but I just think the Leinster bench will offer more than the Scarlet can.
Let's hope you're right in that sense. And just to move on a little bit, Dan, because I know you're not with Leinster at the moment. You've moved on and set up your own business, Rugby Academy Ireland. Tell us a little bit about that.
Look, Rich, Rugby Academy Ireland is something, is an independent academy, the first one in Ireland for that matter, you know, and it's come from probably a Southern Hemisphere model where it's working really well in the amount of players don't get picked for the main academies. I mean, you know yourself, the Irish Rugby Union and the four academies are doing a great job, but they can only get so many guys into the academy, and there's probably just that many players that don't make it into those academies, and then what happens to them? So we want to fulfill a place there for those players to offer them exactly the same opportunity as what they will get in the mainstream academies, give them the same sort of training, mental side of things, a lot of support around their guidance and all of that, because everybody's not going to become a pro player. And we felt there's a gap in the market for it, and hopefully that's going to be successful.
Well, let's hope so. From your experience in the past, looking at players, and I've seen it myself, you know, there's a lot of young players who are in school and they're putting everything into getting into those Leinster sub-academies, Munster sub-academies, Ulster, and hoping to carve out a career for themselves. But when they don't, the disappointment can be huge. And is it a case that those kids can sometimes just fall off a cliff a little bit and lose love for the game and leave the game altogether?
Well, that happens even some guys coming from the big schools, you know, where they probably run the Leica Academy as well, you know, and then some of them don't go on to play again. So it is, there are support systems there. But again, you know, players get identified quite early doors today. So the late developer, there's not as many of them coming through. And that's again, you know, if you don't play Irish under-19s, or there's guys in the Irish under-20 side that don't go into mainstream academies. You know? So we, again, that's the sort of market that we want to fulfill, is that there are good players. There's probably better players out there than some of the players in the academies, but because of coach perception at a certain stage or whatever, they missed out. You know, one coach rates a guy, another doesn't, and that's your opportunity gone. So it's for those guys that we want to offer independent service, where it's all about the individual and not about the depth chart of the province.
You mentioned earlier, Dan, that this is a Southern Hemisphere model. We had Etienne Finn on the show a number of weeks ago. He was over here from the Tall Sharks, and he spoke about these type of academies being in existence already in South Africa. So is that where you're getting the idea from?
Yes, and the Sharks Academy with Etienne would be ongoing for 15 years now, you know, so it is a long process. It's how all the provincial academies are run back home, and then the province picked the best guys out of that. So it's the sub-academies in South Africa are run like that as well. You know, Rod Kafer has got Rugby Tech Academy in New Zealand, who we're looking to partner up with. Inside Running in New Zealand is a similar one. So there's academies like this all over the world offering those players, because of the vast number of players as well that don't get in, to give them an opportunity to be a professional rugby player, whether that's in Ireland or whether that's in England or America or Wales, wherever that is. And that's the links that we've built with clubs all over the world that we can send players to on a trial period after finishing the year with us.
Sounds good. I mean, there'll be people listening today who'll be interested in this, and they'll probably be thinking, right, I've got a kid or a son or a daughter who might be interested in following this route. Whereabouts are you going to be based?
We're based out of Kilashi Hotel, just outside Nice. And again, top facility. Like I say, we're very lucky in that they agreed to take us on. So everything is on campus, from pitch to gym to lectures, everything happens. We've got indoor facilities, we've got astro facilities, we've got full board, half board, student packages, school leaver packages. So it's really trying to cater for everybody, especially the fifth years going into sixth year, where there's probably nothing for them as well, to give them a taste of what professional rugby and academy setup is like. But Kilashi is a great facility, and I don't think you'll get this same state of the art anywhere else.
And where can people contact you if they're interested? Is it Rugby Academy Ireland website?
Rugby Academy Ireland website, which is just www.rugbyacademyireland.ie, or myself, Dan at rugbyacademyireland.ie, and then my phone number as well if you want to contact me.
Stuff. Well, Dan, I wish you the very, very best of luck with it. It sounds like a fantastic venture, and certainly something that a lot of people would be interested in, because not everybody can make it into the provincial academies, and this is another route that they can take to see if there's an opportunity to make it in pro sports. So the very best of luck with it, and no doubt you'll be enjoying the Leinster game later on. So enjoy that too.
Thanks, Reggie. Thanks a lot for the opportunity, and let's hope the boys in blue can do it once more.
Absolutely. Thanks very much. Cheers, Dan.
Thank you. Right,
thanks,
bye-bye.
Dan. Thanks for joining us. Yeah. Of course, Dan Van Zyl there set up Rugby Academy Ireland. It sounds a fantastic idea, doesn't it, Reg?
It's a great idea. Yeah. There's no question about it. I mean, and it's one of the things that struck me when I was working with Leinster, that the disappointment for the young kids, they put so much effort into making it into the sub-academies and the academies, and unfortunately...
There's not room for everybody.
No, there isn't enough room for everybody, and the places are very limited. And I've seen some incredibly talented young players just lose all faith in the game or love of the game. Some continue to go on to club rugby, which is great that that's there for them, but others actually just give it up and they lose their way.
But isn't there a case as well? I mean, there's so many players that just say that because they don't get into the, you know, these special academies, Leinster Academy, Munster Academy, whatever they may be, that some of the younger lads, they develop a little bit slower than others, you know what I mean? So even though they're like 14, 15, like when they're 16, 17, they they could still be playing.
And
for,
even in their 20s.
Even in their 20s,
I mean, it's well known, Brian O'Driscoll didn't make it onto the BlackRock team. And look what happened to him. He wasn't there being picked. And there are so many cases of players like that. Now, luckily, they were picked up afterwards and they got academy places. I myself, I didn't turn pro until 26, you know. So, I mean, the game was different then. Granted, it didn't turn professional until 95. But, you know, there's no reason why people who are slightly older, in their 20s, can't still develop and play the game and become part of the game. The problem is, as I said, they kind of fall off this cliff a little bit when they leave school, because school's rugby is probably some of the most intense rugby you'll ever come up against as a player. And then after that, the club level drops off if you don't get into the academy, and you're kind of left hanging a little bit. The club game is good, but it's still amateur. You're not getting that level of professional training that you can get in these other places. So somewhere like this academy, where players can go for a year and they can stay on campus, I believe, and actually almost immerse themselves in the professional setup and get a feel for what it's like to be a professional player. And at the end of that, then there's the hope that they might get placed somewhere and trialed. It may not be in Ireland, it may be in Wales or Scotland or England or America or wherever it might be. But there's players from all over the world coming into this, and I think it has a great chance. And it offers people an alternative.
Yeah,
you know?
What about the kids that don't make it? What sort of setup is there, like, from the psychological point of view, you know, and the emotional point of view?
Not a lot.
Yeah.
You know,
because that's just as important.
It is. Well, not a lot. I mean, you know, the fact is there's so many kids playing schools rugby. They all have to find their own way, and those that don't get into the academies or anything else, they usually find themselves heading off to college. You know, probably a lot of them just finish with the game and they fall out of love with it, you know. And it's a very sad situation, but that's in every sport. It happens across the board, whether it be football or Gaelic or rugby or, you know, whatever sport you can think of. It happens, and, you know, usually it's parents who end up carrying the can and trying to manage their psychological.
Yeah, exactly. But this is a great idea. We wish Dan all the very, very best today. Did he give us a prediction? I don't think he did. What do you think?
I think, you know, the return of the stars is a big thing. Dan Levy coming back is massive. Sexton coming back, obviously, is huge. You've got Kearney there at fullback. It's a very, very balanced Leinster team right across the board. They're at home. They're in the Aviva. I think the difference between the two sides is going to be the bench. I mean, when you look at that Leinster subs bench, it's a starting bench in most other setups, and I think that'll be the difference, because they can bring on that power. It made a difference. We saw it in the RDS last week when they were able to bring on the bench and bring on quality players. In the front row in particular, when Munster started to get a little bit tired, the scrum was an area that Munster had a little bit of dominance on in the first 40-50 minutes, but then that all went out the window as soon as the Leinster were able to bring on their bench. So Scarlets are a great team. They really are a very, very good team. They're welcoming back Halfpenny this week as well, who's a big bonus for them. We can't afford to give away any penalties.
Yeah.
Right across the board, Patchell's had a very good season for them at 10. Across the board, they're a quality side. But I think you have to say that the advantage is firmly in Leinster's favour. And I think as well, going for a double, it makes it that bit more appealing to Leinster. They'll always want to win trophies, but getting a double, it just cements them as being the top team in Europe this year, and they really want to go after that. So I have to go with Leinster.
Okay, and score wise, because the last time they played, it was a very meagre scoreline. It was 10 points each.
Yeah, there was different. It was a different Leinster side that played against them that time away from home, though. I think the bookies are giving it at around 11 points. I think
of a spread.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think if you were able to get that sort of spread on Scarlets, it would certainly be a decent spread to get, and you wouldn't go too far wrong if you were to back them. You'd probably get 10 or 11 in most bookies. Scarlets plus 10 or 11 would be a decent bet.
And the spread worked out well last week with Munster plus 9.
Absolutely.
Very close game.
I don't say these things lightly, Ken, you know? You just don't listen to me.
Okay, so Reggie says take the spread on Scarlets plus 11 today, but Leinster still to win. And a very nice interview with Dan Van Zyl, and of course he's the wonderful setup of Rugby Academy Ireland, is it?
That's it.
Okay, best of luck to Dan with all of that, and of course That's a rugby slot. We're back with Declan Drake and, of course, Vinnie Murphy. Dublin's on the road. They're playing Wicklow today. And, of course, we'll talk about the Dublin Hurlers, how they got on last week. Very, very close it was. Back in a minute.